Hello, footies, and welcome back to the one and only Daily FIFA podcast. We are Food in Review. We bring you updates about the latest content, we talk players and review them, and of course, as a part of footcoaching.com, we'll give you gameplay advice like tactics and instructions. Today is Thursday, February 18th, and we are recording Season 3, Episode 97. My name is John, also known as Food Coaching, and of course, the show wouldn't be complete without him. It's Yngwie.
Good evening, good evening.
Hello, Yngwie, how are you doing?
Hello, John, I'm not too bad, actually. And you?
I'm alright, yeah. Actually played some games today. Did some trading. My current stance is 1,225 coins.
Yeah. and rising.
I hope so. Can't get much lower anyways. Made some investments, but we'll keep you posted on that. I'm alright. Thanks, buddy.
Goody good.
It's my pleasure. It's been far too long since I spoke to him. It's been far too long since we had him on the show. And it's been far too long since I actually heard a podcast recording with his voice on it. Without further ado, I want to introduce a dear friend of us. It's none other than top 200 FIFA player, Steven Valens.
Hi, everybody. How is everyone? How do you have so little amount of coins? 1,200 is so low.
It is either low or I invested much.
What did you invest in?
Not much. It's low.
Okay. Because you get like 400 for playing a game. So that's only like 3 games worth.
Yeah, so I played 3 games today. That's 1,225 coins.
Oh, what are you expecting to come out?
I don't know, but I bought some Alisson's 90 rated goalkeepers from Brazil, which if there's tomorrow, SBCs from, I don't know, anything high rated SBCs, and I'm expecting some icons, for example, might probably rise.
See, I did the same, but I did it with Firmino and Fabinho.
I wanted to do Fabinho, but Fabinho is an 87 rated, so I was like, you know what, 90 rated.
It's worth bearing in mind that the highest SBC, I think, this year has been an 88.
Exactly. So what does a 90 rated do for that, right?
Yeah, I suppose. Maybe.
Steven, it's been so long. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm okay. Just getting on with FIFA. As it is, grinding and grinding, doing these silly objectives, which you lot have reviewed, told me that Fafana's not worth it. Even though I believe you two think it is worth it.
I didn't think it was worth it.
Did you not? I've seen a lot of people that believe that it's worth it.
I said I couldn't care less about another French central defender.
The thing is, they have to give it. I've seen these weird posts, right, where people say a 79 pace, oh, it's rubbish. 80 pace, oh, it would be, the community likes it's good. That's not true. It needs like 85 pace for anyone to think it's good. People are playing right backs and left backs and centre back. Do you think that people have not realised that pace is the commodity here and not like the other defensive stats? I just sometimes people put out weird stuff. And I think that, if it was going to be good, it would have to be like 88 pace. And then if they gave out like an 88 pace card for free, then the market just dies. So I think it was a silly card. It was just random and unneeded. And I wasn't that happy with it.
No, I totally agree with that. Certainly in combination with the other French centre defender, which you got 2 days earlier.
Yeah.
That's a bit much. No. But I totally agree with you there. But who do you run as centre defence then? Before we talk daily content.
Right. So if I showed my team, it's weird. Because my central defender on paper is Team of the Year Alexander-Arnold. But I got the mid Desailly from one of the moments SBCs, not moment SBCs, icon SBCs. So I switch Desailly for Trent Alexander-Arnold, and I play Trent at CDM, and I play Desailly and Varane as centre backs.
Who's right back?
My right back is Zambrotta.
Oh, okay, he's good.
Yeah, he's really good. He's the baby, I think. It's the right. It's the pacey right back one.
Yeah, 86 rated one.
Yeah, he's really good. Actually, I'm surprised at how good he's been.
Yeah, that's a really good card.
Yeah, it's not very highly used either, from what I've seen.
No, strangely enough, he was used a lot on FIFA 20, I know, but not seen him much so far.
Oh, he's cool.
There's a lot of right backs, though, isn't there? Like Walker, Semedo, team of the year, Trent. Yeah, they're cheap, but you know they do the job. If you know.
Yeah, that's true. And they have the Reece James one that is really rising all the time because it's used in more and more squads, and pros probably use him as well, it seems.
The centre defender, yeah.
Centre-back. Why do they use him? Is there a reason that he's been the chosen one?
Pace a little bit strong, decent defensive stats.
Interesting. Because I wondered whether to get him because he could have gone next to Trent. But then I thought, nah. Too much muddling around. Desailly, honestly, has been the biggest headache. He's a really good card. He took some learning. He's really good because he's just like stocky and he gets thrown away a lot. But playing a centre defensive midfielder at centre back is such a pain in the arse. Because if you want to slot someone in, you have to just bear in mind that everyone is going around the carousel. And the more pieces to the carousel you add, the harder it gets. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah, I definitely know what I mean. I mean, I have Curtis Jones as my central defender.
What? Curtis Jones is your centre back?
Yes.
In game?
Yes. No, Jamie Vardy starts as centre back.
Jamie Vardy starts as centre back.
It's players with Shingalora with John, though.
What the bloody hell? I've seen people put... So one of the things that I don't know if you discussed. Have you discussed Anders and his loss?
Nope.
Okay. He lost because his team has just progressed. And I don't understand how someone who has won... what was he, like 520? So how many is that? What, like... Was he 530? I can't remember. 510 was his latest milestone, wasn't it? So that's 17. 17 weekend leagues, he got the best rewards you can get. And his team was shocking.
Yep.
He was using like rubbish players. I can't remember him off the top of my head. I'm sorry, you should have got him up. I didn't realise I was going to mention him. But he had like Ronaldo at centre defensive midfield playing centre back.
Maybe he's just very smart. Smart than the rest.
But you think? He was using...
He's the only one that gone... He did 535 wins without a loss, right? 535.
He played in pro tournaments and didn't do that great, didn't he?
That's true. Yes. But that's also far different experience, though. I mean, people build their teams upon you, adapt their tactics by seeing you playing on stream... they guide you. There's something like nerves, and he wasn't officially pro tournament since he's not eligible to do that yet. So there's nerves for the first. I think that's a bit different.
I think that as well with him. What's really interesting is that, you know, like he was on that streak, and like there was so much attention on him, and he did like deal with it well. But I wonder if there's anyone like managing him, like if he has a coach or anything like that.
Or I mean, he's sponsored by Red Bull as well, right? So,
by Red Bull Leipzig.
Yes, so they should be sending someone to next to a 14-year-old one to guide him through this. He can't even stream without permission, for example, stuff.
Yeah, I wonder how much guidance he's been getting because his team looked awful, and I think that might be why he lost some pros as well. Because if you just see R9 playing in centre defensive midfield, like you're going to fancy your chances. Let's be honest.
Yeah, that's fair. Maybe you should send him a text that you know is a good coach who could help him.
Do you drink Red Bull, John?
Sure. I'll try to Leipzig. Now I do.
There you go. What about you, Infinity? Do you drink Red Bull?
I used to drink it, but not anymore.
I quite honestly, it's a tougher question to ask tonight because it's my first day of dieting. So only water for me now.
Are you dieting for Lent or?
Sorry, for?
Lent. You might not have Lent in Netherlands.
I don't think so, no. I don't know when.
So,
sorry.
Do you know, like, do you have Pancake Day?
No. They mentioned it on the news, but there's not like a big array here.
So on Tuesday it was Pancake Day, and the Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, and that's something famous. That's Jesus done something. I think it was like when he got put into prison, and then when he got put into prison, it took 40 days for him to be put on the cross. This might be wrong, by the way. You might get loads of Christians hating you for me spreading misinformation, but. Anyway, 40 days time is Easter, and that's
now I get it. Yes,
yeah. So it's to do with that. I don't know why we have pancakes on the Tuesday, though.
Quite honestly, if you really want to know, it's just basically because I finished up most of my physical therapy for recovering my back, and it's about as good as it gets. And now I can only train if I drop some weight and then build up the training. And the less weight there's on my back, the more easy it gets for me to get stronger from there. And then gain weight again. So it's not that I'm like really fat, but it is necessary for me to just help recovery.
Yeah. So people, I missed out the most important thing. For the 40 days, people give up something because that's what you do in Lent. So, because that's the time he was in prison or whatever, or he gave something up. I don't know. I'm not Christian, so I don't know it. I really apologize if I offended all your viewers. So yeah, so you're on a strict diet. So no, you can get sugar-free Red Bull though. Yeah. They'll do that.
No, it's not good.
I'll stay with water. But hey, say Anders or in Leipzig wants to hire me, and all it takes for me to drink a Red Bull, I'm all game. No worries.
If we get a sponsor, of course we'll drink it. No problem.
That's how we roll. That's how cheap we actually are, Steve.
Yeah. Fair enough. I wouldn't. I don't hate Red Bull. I would tell him I drink
like Red Bull or something. First, you're trying to get us a sponsorship here. Next line he says is I hate Red Bull. Okay, goes.
I would drink Red Bull on this if I appeared on this podcast a one off.
Okay,
that's good.
If you were sponsored by Red Bull,
good. I'll send you a t-shirt. Let's talk daily content though before we have another topic to discuss, namely Meta. But first, Yngwie. Take us through daily content and discuss it. Took it out with Steve.
Yes, we got the return of the Future Stars party bag, which is really a different type of everything. So you're actually lucky if you get the Future Star in that one. You can get the ones to watch and all the same as last time.
You mean you'll get a ones to watch?
Ones to watch, Rule Breakers, Road to the Final, Record Breakers, Team of the Group Stages, Freeze, Headliners, and of course Future Stars. The SPC comes in around 110-15k. You need two Team of the Week players, still 84 rated team and 75 team chemistry. It's way too expensive, at least for me. So it's a no for me.
Steve, what about you?
Yeah, it's a load of rubbish, isn't it? It's awful.
Yeah,
it's one of the worst. When people did the first one, all I could think of, all I could see was it's going to end in tears. And yet, people did it again. People are going to do it again. And I don't understand what dragon that they're chasing. Like, honestly, there's nothing in it. Even if there was Team of the Years in there, it wouldn't be worth it.
Oh, that would be worth it, though.
If it was the same price, then of course it's for the roll of the dice value.
No way, because your chances of getting it are so low. Wow, what good cards are there? Have you seen? I'm going to shout out another content creator, by the way. G is a Legend did a thing of what you could get in these, right? Last time, of what you could get. And it's just honestly, right? It's like, do you know when you go to like a store and then you're looking in the bargain bin and you're like, oh, I don't want that, I don't want that. That's literally, right? That's what it is. It's just so much cards that you don't want or need. And You don't need it. It's just an awful SBC, and they shouldn't have done it again. It's a horrible coin sink before the storm that is coming.
Yeah, a friend of mine, he did the party bag first, and I can't remember who he got on the first, but it wasn't anything good. And then, of course, he did it again, and he got once to watch Thiago, and I doubt he's going to get any informs playing for Liverpool at all. And that card wouldn't be usable after maybe 7 informs or something. So
I got one thing about this party bag, though. Yes. At 7 or 6 UK. The party bag hit, and the text said, "This is a Future Stars party bag." Then, 30 minutes later, the same pack says, "Earn a one to watch Rule Breaker, RTTF, Record Breaker, Team of the Group Stage, Foot Freeze, Headliners, or Future Star Players." I mean, probably bad wording on the first one, but what I really don't like, and I want your opinion about it shortly, is... like, if you have it for the first hour or so, you advertise it as a party bag only, like Future Star only.
Yeah.
And then they changed it. I see some people texting, yeah, help now. I opened it thinking it was only it was a Future Star player. And now they updated the wording. No communication, just quietly update. Yeah. Doesn't feel quite right to me. But Yngvi, your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, if I didn't play Ultimate Team as much as I'm doing, I would think, oh, I could get a Future Stars players. But I would say, oh, this is guaranteed a typo somewhere. I'm not going to do that SBC.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, but if you're not that... well, if you're more like super casual, and you're thinking that I can get a Future Star card, and then feel like really bad afterwards when you get a once to watch Osimhen or something, then
one to watch David. If you can get one to watch David, you'd be so angry.
Yeah, because you can get the Future Stars one as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, I understand people are frustrated. I don't know if EA are gonna give back the players they submitted, or I think that would be the best thing if that happened, but I doubt it will happen. But I think they should get the players back.
I 100% think so as well, though, because
I don't know if they're gonna do it though.
The question is do they have a list of who submitted it before and who submitted it after?
Yeah, I think so, because they did something similar with other stuff that was wrong, and then they got the players back, and then...
But didn't they always take it down first and then release it?
Yeah.
Did they do that with this?
No.
Just update the warning. There's no way to know, because if you... imagine you did the SBC half, and then they changed... say you were in the process of doing it, the text isn't going to have changed.
And you still did it, yeah.
And you still did it. So there's no way of them knowing. So I don't think that there's going to be a way. I think they're going to have a refund everyone.
They respond, there's not a guaranteed Future Star players from that pack. You can get now the whole list. I hope this helps to know. But yeah.
They're not going to give people a refund.
Although there's some big content creators now jumping on this. So.
Yeah, but do you remember how long it took for De Jong to be sorted out last year?
Yeah, but at least that one got acknowledged, right?
Yeah, I don't think it will. I don't think they're going to sort it out. I want them to, and I wish I did it now. The thing is,
The best thing, though.
I would have done it. I would have done it for a Future Star. I would have done it. I would have gone for it.
I don't know the pack as well.
I think though they shouldn't act. What they should do is that they shouldn't give people their cards back, and that they should give people a Future Star pack. So just a pack with just Future Stars in.
That could be easier probably as well, yeah.
And then that way, no one can complain that they didn't get their cards back.
No, you got an extra card, actually, yeah.
Yeah, you got an extra card, yeah, that's it. And then you got what you wanted.
Yep.
And I think that's what would be best. But they also messed up with Reece James and Rayner, didn't they? There was reports until recently that people were getting the wrong versions and stuff as well in packs.
Yeah, and that's confirmed as well, because that's on the food tracker now.
Yeah, so I don't know how they're going to refund them people. That's going to create a mess. And that might be the end of two positional players in one cupping.
Which I still don't mind too much, but hey. No, it says, yes, it is on the list. Players received incorrect versions of the Future Star player items.
So, but the
or
thing is,
Gianna Reyna and Future Star player item Reese James internal ID number. It is added. It has been added yesterday night. So yeah.
Yeah. The problem with it is, if you pulled one in a pack, you sold it. Someone's got a CAM Reyna in their club, right?
Yeah.
They wake up. It's right midfield.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Yeah, I have no idea how to fix that one.
I think that they've just created themselves a huge, 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 huge mess. And I don't know what they're going to do to get out of it. But we can stop talking about it now, because otherwise I'm going to get DDoxed by EA because I'm pointing out all their problems.
Nah, you're top 200 player. You're safe.
No, I'm not.
Unless you start insulting someone, then.
Yeah.
Then you're out.
Exactly.
Avery, what else do we got?
We got the Future Stars Challenge.
Wood.
Now in 10K, you get a tradable rare Electrum Players pack. So not the worst, not the best, but decent. We got the normal marquee matchup today. And you get a tradable Prime Gold Players pack for doing the whole thing. The whole thing would cost around 29-30k or something, not more than that, so it's not expensive. All packs are tradable, which is nice. First we have PSV versus Vitesse, cost 4.5k to do. Premium Electrum Players pack, you need one player from the Netherlands, minimum 6 nationalities, minimum 1 rare, minimum 75 rated team and 75 team chemistry, so straightforward. Schalke versus Dortmund, you get a jumbo premium gold pack, cost around 6k to do. One player from the Bundesliga, 3 players from the same league maximum, minimum 4 nationalities, sorry, minimum 4 from the same nation, minimum 1 rare, minimum 77 rated team and 75 team chemistry on that one as well. And we have West Ham versus Spurs, around 8k to do. You get a rare mixed players pack, one West Ham or Spurs player, maximum 5 clubs, minimum 3 players from the same league, minimum 2 rare players, minimum 79 rated team and 80 team chemistry. Last is PSG versus Monaco, cost around 10k to do. You get a premium gold players pack. You need minimum 1 player from PSG or Monaco, minimum 2 players from Liga, maximum 4 leagues, minimum 3 rare players, minimum 80 rated team and 85 chemistry minimum. So pretty much standard, nothing extraordinary, but just solid packs, I guess.
Any comments, Steve, on marquee matchups?
Not really on marquee matchups. I mean, I'm glad West Ham and Spurs is in it, because that is a big game for both teams, I think. But honestly, it's marquee matchups. It's nice to have that every Thursday to give everyone a chance to get in a few packs and stuff. But whatever happened to the showdown cards? I'd much rather a West Ham Spurs showdown. Then
they could also have done, I think, isn't the AC Milan derby thing?
Is it the Milan derby?
I think that's, so I can double check it if it's on Saturday or maybe Sunday. It's probably.
It's Milan Inter, you wanted to ask that, right? Sunday, yeah.
Yeah, that would be a great match to use as a showdown.
Although I think Juventus versus Crotone is also a good one.
Nah.
No, I'm kidding.
We already have too many special cards as it is.
No, Juventus. No. You can't have too many special cards for you.
You can. You're not even in the game. I can't believe that they gave El Shaarawy, like, one of the best cards in the SBCs that they've ever done.
Well, they gave
the non-licensed club.
Yeah, I mean, Emre Can got the one as well, right? Or, Sandro got an SBC.
Yeah, but those SBCs were like questionable, in my opinion.
Bonucci card.
I mean, Cristiano Ronaldo got one as well, didn't he? The fake right wing
the
one.
The flashback one, yeah.
Yeah.
So, they're not too shy about that. The only thing they won't ever do is, although AC Milan is now an EA club, is give Zlatan an extra card, I think.
Yeah, he may be.
Or Bale.
Or Bale, yeah. Give him a one to watch.
Yeah, that was it. Have him pose him with that one to watch.
That was the ones to watch before he started tweeting.
That was like the ultimate.
Yeah, but did you not see the... didn't he turn up to like a tournament or do a video for a tournament because he owns an esports team?
Yeah.
11th or something.
Yeah. So, I mean, let's not get into the ridiculousness of that. I do hope that they do bring back Showdown soon, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of like the favorite games.
Yeah, awesome. And the dynamic duos that they had in FIFA 20 as well was cool.
They'll be back.
Yeah. Just throw out lots of cool stuff.
Yeah.
And cool. We got the long-awaited and anticipated Liga Player of the Month SBC, and everybody had to guess Neymar or Volan, but we got Farid Boulaya. He comes in at around 25k, which is a great price.
A great price, did you say? For what? No.
Cam, you need one player from Liga. You need one team of the week player, minimum 80 rated team, 80 chemistry, and of course 11 players in the squad. Then you unlock the 82 rated.
Sorry, thought you said 82.
82. Yeah. It's like, okay, he won. He probably has a low rate.
You did say 82, right?
Yep.
That's 25k for an 82 rated card.
It's a bargain. It's great for objectives, you know. He went from 72 to 82. It's a plus 10. It's a great leap. He's got 5-star skill moves, 4-star weak foot, and he's 2 feet, high, medium.
He got 2 feet.
Two legs, two arms, what a bargain.
He even wears his shirt when you play him.
Yeah, he might be a little bit behind the power curve, this card, I agree. But of course, great for objective, first owner, maybe Liga.
Great for it, come on now.
What objective is he good for?
Icon swaps.
No, not even that. Unless there's one where...
Managerial masterpiece.
Yeah, mate. No, but he's not good for that either because he's too high. If he was 75...
Exactly, or 79, 77.
He's got a use for that. He's too high for managerial masterpiece and too low for everything else. They've put him in the worst place.
Including SBCs. He's even too low for SBCs.
Yeah, he's the worst. Because I did the Turkish one that was before Yazici.
87 rated, yeah.
Yeah, I did him because when you were doing because I don't know if any of you did any crafting, but I mean when you had like spare 83s that you didn't want to just chuck away, he was great. But this card is not the same. It's terrible. It's awful. It's probably the worst card they've released, I would say.
Yeah, pretty much. That's true. But
yeah, I want to say something. I don't have anything
here. I wish he was a silver star. That would be cool, though. 74 rated, juiced one for...
Yeah, but then it's like... that would be cool, but in this case, it's useless. I want to say... I want to just highlight once more, right? This isn't EA's pick to decide. Ligue 1 is based, the votes are based on Ligue 1 players, Ligue 1 managers and staff, and Ligue 2 players and Ligue 2 managers and staff, and there's a public vote, and everyone can vote around the world, doesn't matter where you're from, just need an email address and you can vote, or you can vote through the EA site, and so the EA votes are just a tiny margin there, so not usually a PSG player actually wins. At all. Just saying.
True.
It's gross injustice, though. It should have been The thing is, right, is it's if the vote is skewed in some way to stop a club from having players that win, then they need to change how they do the vote.
Yeah, but I mean, they could also just be transparent on how much the vote, like the public vote counts and stuff.
Yeah.
We don't even know if it's 95% of the votes are already like count is already the votes from the clubs and stuff, and yeah, the vote, the public vote, just 5%, or if it's 50-50. So you don't know how many people voted. I mean, yeah, you know the percentage where you won, but it's an average of those two things, so it doesn't say anything either.
Yeah, it's very confusing, isn't it?
Yeah, they should just like either make it public or like give ratings, like neutral ratings every week to a player, and the player with higher ratings overall at the end wins, right? Get a group for it as well, or say whoever wins the public vote gets half a point extra, whatever. That's fair, but yeah, and then you get crazy situation like this because he's not on the top scorers list or anything as well. He might have been good though, but I think everyone knew that Volland was actually having a pretty good season thus far.
I was thinking of Volland because he had quite good stats and that his team won all the matches as well.
I mean, Volland got 10 matches, 12 goals, 4 assists, right? So that goes for something.
Yes, would think so.
It's a poor decision. Neymar got like 6 goals and 3 assists in like 4 games, 1 month. And then they just literally just destroyed it, like, just like didn't put him in. And there's no reason. And who could have, unless all the players and the managers who vote are blind, there's no reason to not give a guy who scored 6 goals and got 3 assists the bloody reward in like 3 games. Sometimes I just have to use common sense, but it just makes you wonder what's going on.
Although Bulayev played the last 5 games and he scored 5 and he had 4 assists in those 5 games. So there's that, though. That is a good average if you look at it. 5 games, 5 goals, 4 assists.
That's okay.
So from the last 5 matches, he scored 5, 4 assists, which, I come to think about it, if that's his first 5 matches which he played for Metz, also it is Metz, right? Not bad.
How many have they won? That's the question I ask you.
Well, while you ask that, I'll actually check. But they are 8 in the competition with 25 points. So, 35 points.
Mm. To the trash.
He might actually be better than we... in real life than we mentioned.
If he gets 2 more player of the months, he'll be usable.
Yeah, that's a problem though, because then it's even if it's like a deserved one, right? Then it is a low rated player. I don't even know how high his regular card is. But it was 72 or something, Belaya.
Something ridiculous.
I think it was 72. So yeah, you can't really give him much more than 10 extra points on that as well. So yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they're stuck with this. I think that's the other problem. If you can't decide over any influence at all, then you get cards like this, which might be actually deserved in real life, but in this case, does nothing for the game.
Yeah.
But he can do a little bit more than just wave his arms and walk.
Yeah, fair enough. I still disagree with it. But
that's all right, though. We've disagreed far more often than today.
The thing is, I mean, who decides who the nominees are? 3 nominees is such a little amount. So why don't they have it where, like, the players get to pick the top 3 and then it goes to a public vote?
That would be a good one, yeah.
That's true.
There you go. Ligue 1, listen to me. I'm right. Do what I just said.
Also, don't get sponsored by Uber Eats because it makes your league look even more ridiculous. I can't say this, though. We have less than 1% listeners for France. So hey, that won't make a difference, I think.
Bon appétit, eh?
There you go. Bon appétit.
There we go.
That's it for today, right, for the content part, Ingvi?
Yep.
Awesome. Because Steve wants to discuss a certain topic, or at least throw it up there. and see how we think about it. And that certain topic was, drum roll, go for it.
It's the meta. Someone taught me that it meant something that's not what I thought it meant. It's like the most efficient tactics available.
Yes.
That is what they reckon it is. But that makes no sense, because when I played Yu-Gi-Oh! We called it meta, and the meta was the decks that everyone used. So it wouldn't be one, it would be a set of three or four. And so there wasn't a efficient way, there were many. So I disagree with that, and I disagree with people using it as a way to summarize that one formation is useful, because one formation isn't useful. And if you genuinely care about FIFA, you will know that there is much more importance in the way that you play your game, in the other little nuances in the thing, in the tactics. So just to say like 5-3-2 is the meta is silly. And I think people have gone way over the top in declaring people basically blasphemous for daring to say that 5-3-2 is a meta. When other people have been pumping out metas for years. I remember someone on another podcast saying that heading was the meta when in FIFA 19, was it? What was the Zlatan one? 19, it was, wasn't it? 19.
Yeah. Yeah.
When they said that crossing was the meta. I never did that. I still got like top. I used to get 27 wins a week in weekend league, and I never used to cross it in. Well, it wasn't the most efficient tactic for me. I didn't need it. And I think that people are getting too excited about a silly thing, about a silly subject that doesn't really affect your gameplay. Right? Everyone knows it's annoying when someone plays with five at the back and they're just passing you around the back and you can't really press and it's annoying. Right? That's fine. That happens. It is what it is. But there's no point to start like telling people that they don't enjoy playing that way, because some people do. Some people like winning more than they do like playing attacking football, and I understand it. And you can't have a go at people for doing that sort of thing. And I think that it's just, you know, to say that one tactic is the meta is stupid when, like I said, there are other ways to implement the core values of what is in a 5-3-2 in other tactics. And the meta is actually defensive football, isn't it? Like, John, you'll know this more than I will. The meta for pros to use is to not give anything away and try and steal a goal by using a through ball at the correct time.
I think now you're nailing the... Or how do you say? You hit the nail on the head. Because the meta is like... I stand behind the term most effective tactic available. Doesn't mean in FIFA land that's the most effective tactical approach you can decide by using the 5-3-2 or 4-4-2, whatever. I don't think the formation itself is the meta. The way you play the game can be meta or not. For example, two striker formations with through balls is without a doubt, the best way, the most effective way to score goals this year, period. Doesn't mean you can't score, of course, all the way. Doesn't mean you cannot play one strike formation. Doesn't mean you have to play 3-5-2, 5-3, or whatever. Do whatever you want. But if you want to score as effective as possible the most goals, then having two strikers and practicing these through balls is by far the best way of available. So the most effective tactic available. That goes for defense as well. If we play pro versus pro, you know these things. You know that if you lose the ball and he goes for a through ball and they are well practicing that, it is very strong and you might get countered. So you don't want to lose the ball. So you develop a new playing style against the meta. Hence developing a new type of meta. That is meta. The formation itself? Absolutely not. And it also doesn't mean that there aren't outliners there as well. Having people scoring from crosses or get top 200 by not using a through ball at all. That still exists. But overall, if you put 32 pros in a room, you can't do that these days. If you put 32 pros in a stadium with lots of distance between them and you let them play, they always try to make they always will try to do the most effective thing available. Maybe we should put tactics out of there, just the most effective thing available. And that is going to be running with two strikers. Won't mean you won't see players with 4-2-3-1, just to try to be safe. Won't mean they won't be able to win anything. But I think that is how you should see a meta. A meta develops, right? If everyone starts playing five at the back and not relying on through balls anymore, for example, goes for crosses, you'll need different things to do. The whole reason players play fullbacks as center backs is because they are able to catch up on these through balls. So while everyone's rushing around this week and last week saying a certain formation, etc., stuff like that is either meta or the false play, whatever, that doesn't even matter because the way the game is played, the through balls or the two strikers, has been the same since week one. That didn't change at all.
Yeah, and I just want to add one other thing, and this really, really annoys me, right? When I see someone saying, oh, I play 5-3-2, but I don't play the meta way, I play it on 10 depth. Well, no, you're still doing the same spam on through balls.
That's the point, yeah.
Just your way of defending is that your players are pushed up when they can be, and then when someone gets through, they're just trying to play offside all the time. That doesn't make you not any more like you're not trying to play a different way to everyone else. Don't try and fake it like you are. Like, you know,
the attacking fullbacks and stuff won't make a difference there because your main plan of attack will still be hitting your two strikers on a through ball or a pass.
Yeah, that's it.
And I think that is still the meta, and that is what I would call the meta, the most effective way to do the game.
That's been the meta from the start.
100%. I've coached pros from week one who played 5-3-2 the first week because whatever happens, they want not to get any through balls through. They played Hullet at central defender for that exact same reason.
Hullet.
With his extendable legs, right?
Oh, Jesus.
So only for that reason. If they lose the ball, you can't have a through ball.
Interestingly, I played someone that did that with Vieira, actually, and they beat me. They had a really rubbish team that had Vieira, and I couldn't get through him in to centre back.
Yeah, exactly. So I think you said it correctly. Tactics matter, like the way you want to build up for that. But if you want to get wins, if you want to get the most wins out of your game, aka the best performance, you just have to follow what works best this year. Period. There's no steady way of doing it elsewhere. There's outliners, you can do it once, you can do it two. But we talked about Anders. He's not gonna play a different style next week for some reason.
Yeah, no, you're right. And the thing I would say as well is that like I said, that he's not been great against pros, but he's been great against others, is because that tactic works against not pros, especially. And if you're just gonna play a 5-3-2 and not know what you're doing, yes, the three defenders will stop through balls to a certain extent. But they're not going to make you make the right positional switch or switch to the right person at the right time when you need to. And it's not going to bail you out. And that is the thing. I'll be honest, I played 5-3-2 from about week two or three because I saw a pro use it and bang on about how good it was and how... this pro didn't say it was like the best formation. They said it was the best formation for keeping possession. And so if I was 3-1 up in a game, I'd just go to 5-3-2 and then just try and see it out. And it is the best. And in my opinion, it is the best formation for keeping possession because I have everyone on. I tell everyone, how dare you start 10 depth? I have the depth at like 4, but which is reasonable.
Width is on 10.
No, but the width isn't on 10. The width is on like 7 or 8. But the defenders are on stay back, so don't attack.
Yeah.
And you can literally just pass from right back to right centre back. They come and press you. You boot it over to the left back. You pass it to the left centre back. You boot it over to the right back. And then you pass it to the right centre back. Then you boot it over to the left back. And honestly, unless they go on full press, they can't get the ball. Which is a bigger problem in the game. People shouldn't be moaning at the meta. People should be saying, make press better.
Exactly, yeah. Or, but I don't know, the game more manual in more other ways. But hey. But I think that's Ingvi. Do you have an opinion about what we call meta or the discussion we just had.
I understand that it's very popular to kind of cling on to use it, but at least 60% of the game is to find players and formation and style that works for me, that I enjoy playing, and not what everybody else think, or maybe it is. I just want to use what I like and what works for me, because if I was going to go full meta, I'm pretty sure I would do worse than what I'm doing now in weekend league and stuff, because I wouldn't enjoy playing at all. I would hate using the system and setup, and I would be using players I didn't like to use at all as well. So it's not for me.
You have your own meta. You've been playing the same formation, same setup, same style over the past years, and you couldn't care less about what's happening around you, which is, I think, a very good way of quite enjoying this game. But you're also not going to try hard for top 200.
Nope, I'm not.
Infinity, who's your favorite player
in the game to use?
In the whole game to use that you've used?
I think at the moment, actually, it's the Curtis Jones card, because it's insane for me. He's everywhere. He's scoring, defending, assisting, and he probably could play goalkeeper as well if you tried him there.
I've heard that Jones card has 2 legs, 2 feet in his shirt as well.
Yeah, but he just works insanely well for me and my style.
There's no Liverpool. How do you say it?
I love the Acuna card. Before the Curtis Jones, I would say Acuna, because he's...
Oh, really?
Yeah, he is insane for me. I can use him on left back, I can use him center back, I can use him center midfield, left winger. Probably use him as a center forward as well if I wanted, because the card is so fun to use pretty much all over the pitch.
Wow. That's interesting. Is he still in your team? He's just been overtaken by Curtis Jones.
Who?
Acuna.
Acuna's playing left back. Curtis Jones is center midfielder. So
you still have him in your team. That's cool.
Yeah. And I also like the Schuker card. I have the 87 now. I had the 85 before the swaps. And I got this 87 from Leikensop. So I've been using him nonstop since I got him. He works really well for me. He makes the type of runs I want. He can score with headers, both feet. He's decent pace as well. Can hold up the ball, play target man, and drop down and, start attack that way. So very versatile type of player and different. So I really like using him as well.
Who's your second favorite player? Because that's what I've been asking today on Twitter.
Acuna.
Mine second. First is Curtis Jones now, and then Acuna is the second.
Steve, yours?
Second favorite.
Yeah, and first favorite. You can name them both.
My first is Yao Victor, the freeze.
Oh, interesting. Honestly,
that card, it was the best striker. It's still probably the best striker that I've used, like out-and-out striker. You can't play him as anything else, but as an out-and-out striker, he's quick, he's agile. He's, for some reason, could just do, like, amazing, like, dribbling stuff. Like, just, like, close control left stick dribbling. He has 5-star weak foot, and he could just put everything away. He's honestly my favourite card, which has made me so excited for Reyna, because now I can put him back in. So he was my favourite. I'm trying to think who my second favourite is. So hard. Who is my second favourite? I'll tell you what, right? I'm going to be boring. But my second favourite card is definitely Socrates, 89.
That's not boring at all. No, I've been looking at trying him as well. So he looks really good. And he looks like he could play centre midfielder, cam, centre forward as well. And probably as a centre defender.
he has the long legs is the thing. So if you control him, you get to steal the ball off people. He's really strong. And he can shoot with either foot, and it's just so beautiful. And he probably is, and he tends to get goals in like games when I can't get the through balls and I'm not able to, it tends to be a run from him coming from deep. One of my strikers drags their defender out of position. He just comes hurling in and just smashes it into a corner. And he's just, I love him. I've loved him in last FIFA. I loved him in this FIFA.
That's a cool choice, though. I mean,
I'm going to get his moments almost certainly. That's like top on the agenda. That's it. What about you, John?
Well, my first favorite, everyone knows. I won't name it on today's show, but
CR5.
Have you not mentioned it in every podcast? If I've got Team of the Year CR7, I've mentioned it in every podcast.
I did mention it in every podcast until today, and I thought I maybe should try to live it out of it. But yeah, CR7, of course, is my favorite number one. Won't go anywhere. But my second one, that's why I posted a tweet, is actually Philipp Lahm, the left back.
He looks really?
Yeah, it's an amazing card. Scores, assists, tackles, is fast. Can play CDM during the match if I want to switch things around as well. I really, really like that card. I think he's very underrated. At least I thought so until I checked his price, and I think there are many people that actually think he's still good because he's actually expensive for an base icon.
How much is he?
He was almost 600k when I checked it this afternoon.
So, base icon...
536 now, and 620 on PlayStation and 760... on PC.
So, did you have the phenomenon? You know what the phenomenon is?
No, I'm learning a lot on this podcast today.
The phenomenon. I'm just naming it that, and it's not, no one else has coined it. It was when Team of the Year come out and base icons went out of packs, all the good base icons went up instead of.
That could be it, of course, yeah.
I had baby Emilio, and I sold him for a profit. And had baby Alessandro Del Piero, and I sold him for a profit. And, I mean, not a big profit, like 10k sort of profit out of them. But when it's like a million coin card and you don't use any money, you're like, well, happy. And it's just a weird phenomenon that's happened. I can't even say the word now. That's happened this year, and for some reason, people have appreciated those baby icons a bit more. And now that you can't get them in packs, it's a bit. And this is why icon swaps coming out and good icons SBCs are so important.
Yeah, I think that we might get an SBC. We'll see tomorrow, though. But I think we might need an icon for an SBC soon. So.
I've got an untradeable duplicate Kevin De Bruyne and an untradeable duplicate Edison that needs to go into an SBC, and I can't open packs until I get an SBC, basically.
Yeah, that's always a problem. I got Crespo laying around just to wait for the first icon SBC that needs an icon.
Oh, I've been chucking... I had Hadji and Lampard, and I chucked them in... I don't even remember chucking Lampard in an SBC. That's what the worst thing is about Lampard. But Hadji, I chucked in an SBC as well.
Everyone's forgetting about Lampard this year now, right? It happens soon.
His cards are trash. I'm not going to get
into that. No, I know. It's not that good. I got the two player reviews, though, for tonight. Before we have to round off. Want me to do one and you one, or you want to do both?
You can do both if you want.
Yeah, go ahead.
You can do one. Because
I'll do one. We got another one from Lexinated. Alex, of course, a Rossineri fan. That's an Aston Villa fan for everyone who thought, why would these guys on this podcast suddenly pump out a Aston Villa review every single day? But Alex does keep going at it, so he sent in a player review for Frank the Tank Cassie. Actually has a nickname for him. That's how much of a fan he is. But these are extensive reviews, so here it comes. And he says, when Cassie got on 81, wrote to the final card, the meta wasn't as developed and people were still playing Gold Sissoko in their team. I obviously immediately picked him up as he is a live AC Milan item. He's not biased at all. Looking at the stats back then, I was thinking, don't people see this as a way better card than those Premier League midfielders? I remember texting a friend, if this guy gets one upgrade, he will be viable until team of the season. Plus, he has the upside that AC Milan actually might make a decent run in Europa League. What makes him stand out from the get-go is his physical stats are already near endgame level. This guy is an absolute bulldozer that run another marathon after the game is done. His strength, aggression, combined with his body type and decent size make him feel almost like hurdler-like when bumping people over the ball like they are flies. I gotta take a breath now, though. If he was Vieira or Hurdler size, he would be three times the price. He gets something in return for missing size, though. Because he isn't that tall, he still remains quite agile. And all his running stats, apart from agility, are around 85+. Four-star weak foot makes it so you can play him left or right in midfield, and he makes a nasty centre-back as well, due to his natural characteristics. Chemistry style, the only thing everyone agrees on, he needs a bit of pace, so Enya makes him way more responsive, and you could argue his physical stats already make him a defensive stalwart. If he gets another upgrade, maybe something to boost shooting could be a good idea. A shadow can't be bad though, as pace is clearly the stat you want to boost. So we get a bulldozer that can still turn like Renato Sanchez, has a whopping 98 stamina, low 90s for passing, and you're telling me he has a shooting presence too? Yes, because of his 95 shot power and a 4-star weak foot, you can still get those across goal shots from consistent shooting angles. Is there anything this man cannot do? Also, his normal gold card will be a starter team beast next year, I promise you all. That's an awesome review though. Thanks, Alexander, for sending that in.
Yeah,
that's a good review.
I'm almost inclined to get this card now, you know. I don't have any coins. I mean, can't buy him for 1,200, but still, I'd almost be inclined to do so.
How much is he?
I don't even know. I'll check well read it. You probably buy him now before he's post podcast. So Cassie is actually 515 on Xbox and 634 on PlayStation and 800,000 on PC. So I think there are more people that actually like this card.
Oh, interesting. Apparently, Milan just drew their Europa League game as well. So I don't know if that makes it more expensive or less expensive.
They did?
Yeah. They drew tonight.
Oh, maybe a bad time for... Oh, this is an interesting card to pay attention to, though. We got one more review before we close out the podcast, though. And that is from Gerwin, Dappere Strijder. Of Dappere Strijder, I should say that in Dutch, of course.
Topless what?
Not topless. It means brave warrior, just to say.
Oh, okay. Right. I was going to say, is it like that Bulaya card that's got a shirt on?
Exactly. This one you'll like though, Steve, because he will be talking about Prime Butra Nego. After discussions with the Discord, I went for Prime Butra. I used him as a cam and striker in a 3-5-2 and 4-3-1-2 setups. The other attackers being Cruyff 91 and Mane, FF Mane. That's actually... he's got coins though, this guy. As a cam, I really didn't get along that well, but when I switched things around and played him as a striker, boy, he went to work. It was all Division 1 gameplay, so not against bad opponents. He netted 15 goals in 10 games as a striker. Great runs, positioning in the box, and the 5-star weak foot is a charm. Just stop the ball inside the box and use some left stick dribbling, up or down, and he's unstoppable. The nutmeg gives him great acceleration, and because he can go either way, he's extremely tough to defend. Despite his small build, a lot of 50-50s goes his way. He's not as easy to bully off the ball as I expected. Overall, I'd say he's worth every penny. Great dribbling, finishing, and attacking AI. Just left stick dribble or right R1 dribbling is more than enough to give him the space to get a shot off. And once he gets that 99%, he's on target and or a goal. He's not leaving my team for a long time. The combination with Johan Cruyff works like a charm, being both 5-star weak foot players. Thanks for sending in that review, Brave Warrior, for Steve Gozit. nice reviews, guys. Keep them coming. I think we got one more, but that's another AC Milan fan. That lot, which we shouldn't forget. But
So when I was looking at Butchers, I was going between Prime Butcher and Mid Butcher, but the price difference on PC was too high to get the Prime. And he does look so impressive. Did he say what chemistry style he had on him?
He did.
What was it?
Not. Nope.
Oh, he did not. Okay. But it'd be interesting because engine is what I would put on him, but a lot of people had a Hawk on the ones I was looking at. And I just wondered.
Gives him a little bit of strength, so.
Yeah.
He's like a little pocket rocket. He doesn't need it.
I would definitely
need it, but the Hawk gives it.
I'd probably give him an engine as well, by the way, just max up his sprint speed, acceleration, topping off that balance and dribbling. I mean, with
good passing.
Short passing, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, would probably be my choice as well. Although, you know, I'm a sucker for just maxing out all shot statistics. So I think a finisher would be my best, if I'm quiet. Yeah, I would go for a finisher. Making sure he gets 97 shot power with 99 finishing, 97 positioning, 99 agility, 95 balance, and 99 dribbling. Yeah, finisher.
Before we end, I'm just going to give your listeners some bad advice.
Some bad advice.
Yeah, 99 pace, 99 pace, 99 pace. If you're not going to get that card to 99 pace, John, just don't care about any other stats. 99 pace is all that matters. Everything else can be dealt with after. 99 pace. Why are you telling him? No, you don't need finishers. Finishers, not a real chemistry card. If it doesn't up the pace, it's not a real chemistry card.
It is, though. It is, though. I prefer finishing both the rest for my strikers. But
you have a CR7 that already has like 99 pace probably, so...
No, and CR7 doesn't have 99 pace, but he does have 99 positioning, finishing, shot power, and 98 shoot strokes. I got engine on him.
You must
have it. Yeah.
Yeah, see? Up his pace.
Yeah, but basically because the rest is, there's not much else to boost.
No, shoe.
My Suarez got finisher, though.
No.
Yes, 100%.
Do you know what Ken Shamaswar has got?
He's got out of your club.
He has his SBC for the...
Exactly, yeah.
I haven't used him yet. Oh.
Steve.
There's a question in the chat.
What's this question? Let me have a look. Question to you guys. How much do you feel the offensive position stat, isn't it work rate plus your manual triggers, way more relevant? I don't care about positioning too much myself, but if you're on the ball, it doesn't matter. If you're off the ball, it does matter. I would go for a speed above positioning stat myself. Steve?
In the famous words of The Rock, it doesn't matter. It's not irrelevant. That stat is pointless. It's like... it's like defensive positioning. It does nothing. It does absolutely nothing. The card will still be stupid and be offside when it shouldn't be, regardless of if it has 99. And like I said, you trigger your runs. So it is a pointless stat, and it's something they need to jig up a bit more. It doesn't even mean, like, when they're in the box that they'll necessarily go into the space that they're meant to go in to get a goal. It's just pointless, and it's something that they need to fix. It's one of the things that they need to fix.
I agree.
Pretty quick.
Envy as well.
Well, I think I notice a bit when I don't trigger runs. If they have a good offensive position stat, attacking position stat, if it's high, they make much better runs in and around the box. If it's an attacker, than lower. The lower ones make stupid runs. At least for me, the way I play. So
I think it's also case sensitive, right? If it's 95, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. No, so. That's true. But
if it's like 80, it doesn't matter, to be honest.
There's no way of actually deciding this. So
there's no way of knowing, like, there is absolutely no way of knowing what it does.
Last two questions. This was from Alex. Alex sends one more question, which is, it seems like Mbappé or CR7 make more aggressive AI runs. Is that down to them being unique in the game? Steve, while you're on it.
The reason that they make runs, by more aggressive AI runs, do you mean like, I presume that you mean like they're more likely to get in the box and score a goal? It depends, because you have to have them on get in the box under your instructions. Yeah. Normally, for them to do that sort of thing, and if you don't have them on that, they won't do it. I found that it's random, and certain strikers will make the runs that you want them to, and certain strikers will not. And you have to play around with formations and different little things to make it better. That's all I can suggest. There's not one stat that makes them run into the box for tap-ins.
But it's also like confidence when you get the ball and whatnot. I think strikers are also just having a feeling with a player, like, and getting used to him. And Mbappe is just lightning quick, so it'll actually notice. I don't think it matters that much.
I think it's your tactics, Lexinator.
Which means more, yeah. The last question is for Yngwie. Yngwie, this is from friend of the show, Nishant. Is Hullet high medium work rate an issue?
Only if we play him centre back.
That is actually the best answer we could end this podcast on.
Do you have Hullet?
Yes, Hullet, yeah, and he just wants everyone to know. I think that's it. Only if you play him centre back. All right, keep sending in those questions. Keep sending in those reviews. Never knew we had this many questions and reviews coming in. So it makes for longer shows. But hey, it is a community show, so your questions will always be answered on this one. Steve, thanks for being on again. It was good having you on the podcast. And as always, it went long.
Yeah, traditional. That's because I'm here. It's sticking to tradition, that is.
Do you miss podcasts then?
Yes.
Come on more often than that, buddy.
Okay, we'll see. I might be recording an episode soon, but I don't know. But it might just be me ranting about stuff. Meta? There's so much I want them to, not meta. I want to do like a comprehensive review into stats, which is so boring and no one's probably going to listen to it. But I just think that I want to break down all the stats and just say, like, this is where they've gone wrong. Because so many stats are meaningless and so many stats are important, and they need to make it so that every stat has a balance. So if you've got attacking position in 99, then they will always be in the box for crosses. But then that also means they won't be on the edge of the box for crosses. So then you have to decide what one you want in a player and things like that. There needs to be a much better... There needs to be a much more comprehensive like set of stats. Blocking needs to be a stat so that if you have someone making super AI blocks out of nowhere, you know why. Whereas interceptions isn't a stat because if someone kicks the ball into you, you're going to intercept it. Someone doesn't kick the ball into you, you're not going to intercept it. Stat is pointless. You could have someone with zero interceptions, and if you're controlling them, it's pot luck whether you get nutmegged or not. So what's the point of that stat?
And fullbacks, if you have a fullbacks with high aggression, but you put them on conservative, what happens? I mean, yeah, no, yeah. That's a cool subject, though. But if people want to know where they can find you talking about that subject, where would that be?
So it'd probably be a What the Foot podcast. I've tried to tweet a lot from the account as well. So it's WTFUT podcast. You normally see me tweeting or trying to troll people for getting in like dramatic circumstances or moaning about crappy objectives, etc., etc.
It could be a cool show just shouting out everyone what happened that week and just name them. Name and shame them. That sounds like a show for you, though.
Yeah.
I join, but then anonymous, if that's all right with you.
Anonymous.
With a voice mask here. Luke, no, never mind.
I pulled CR7 for the year, but you don't know who I am.
Everyone knew it would be me, yeah. So that's WTF Footpodcast on Twitter, actually.
Yeah, on Twitter, and yeah, just that for now.
Awesome. Yngwie, as always, where can people find you?
They can find me on Twitter at Evgenoni. They can find me on the EA forums at LittleLaw95 and, of course, LittleLaw95 on the Discord.
Awesome. You can find the show. And that was an awesome again, by the way. You can find the show, of course, on all socials. Just check Foot in Review. You can find the show at Foot in Review on Instagram now as well, by the way. Keep following us on Instagram. Cool trailers there. I think that's an important one to special notice. If you want to support this show or want to hang out while we're recording and send in live questions or even get more coaching discounts, go to patreon.com/footinreview. You can find me on all socials at Foot Coaching, and starting today, the Facebook page Foot Coaching has gone live as well. So come hang out there and send us a message. You can go to footcoaching.com if you want any coaching done. And I think that's it for today. I want to thank you all. Steve, thanks. I see you soon. Really looking forward to those runs again. But thanks for keeping it clean tonight.
There was a few times that it was 50-50.
You did well. I had my hand on the button, but you did well.
Oh, you had the button. Oh, wait.
No.
Can we try the button?
Steve's muted. I'm going to drop it and see you tomorrow.
Drop it.
Drop it.
F-U. F-U. F-F-F-U. F-U. T. 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 In view. F-U. T.